This is the Past Lives Podcast, episode 249, and I'm your host, Simon Bowne. My mission here at Past Lives Podcast is to investigate evidence that demonstrates survival of the human soul. We will look at past life memories, near-death experiences, spirit communication, and other incredible phenomena. And please look out for the Past Lives Podcast episodes called Paranormal Stories, and they are released every Thursday. And if you want to hear the extended version of this episode, please join the Patreon campaign. And this week I'm talking to Barbara Bandell about her book, My Most Memorable Psychic Readings and Personal Stories, plus exercises and meditations to expand and deepen your awareness. Barbara started her psychic medium practice more than 25 years ago. As a child, she often read photos for her classmates, and seeing dead people and communicating with her spirit guides was normal for her. She's been invited numerous times on TV and radio to talk about her profession and give live psychic and audience readings. Hi, Barbara. Thanks a lot for coming on the podcast.
Hi, Simon. Thank you so much for asking me.
So we're going to be talking about your book. It's called My Most Memorable Psychic Readings and Personal Stories. So could I ask you, though, first of all, what were your first experiences of being psychic?
My first experience was when I was 7. I had to go to a police station to look at several photos of men because my friend and I, we saw a flasher the day before. And I didn't know at that time that when I look at a photo, I get all kinds of information about that person, their energy, what they're doing. So I focused on the photos to see if I could recognize this flasher. And then I got all this information about the evilness, the dark things they did with children. And I had no idea that there was something called pedophiles. I didn't know. So it was very traumatic. And when I met with my friend outside the police station when we were ready, I asked her, did you see anything with the photos? And she didn't see or felt anything. And so I thought I was crazy. I decided then and there, there's something wrong with my brain. That was my first experience.
And so did that make you feel like you should hide this?
Yes, I said to myself, I'm never ever going to tell anyone what just happened.
And as time went on, did you find more and more stuff happened? And it was like that in the, you didn't really have any control over it.
No, I think it was time for me to realize that I could do these things. And in that same year, I went with my classmates to an elderly home to perform for them and sing songs. And I saw the deceased daughter of an elderly couple standing behind the elderly couple. And I forgot to sing because I was mesmerized by what I saw. And I noticed that no one of my classmates noticed anything. So that was actually quite beautiful because then it's like I felt the other side of what I could sense, the beauty and the love that, that this daughter had for her parents. It filled my eyes with tears. I was really struck by that. And it made me feel like home. And I didn't know what home was, but it really made me feel like home, the love that she radiated in the whole room.
So Barbara, could you tell us about your guides?
My main spirit guide, I call him Ben, and he's not one energy. He's a combined energy of several spirit guides, and I like to talk to him. He filters everything, and I recognize his energy always right away, so that's very familiar to me.
And when did you first encounter him?
His energy, or I should say their energy, feel very ancient to me. So it felt like they were always with me, but they actually started to talk to me when I was around 13, 14.
And you find that the information that comes through is always reliable. Was there ever a point when you first heard them, you thought, I don't know what's going on here. I don't know if I can trust this.
Well, and I always thought it was me. When I had a brilliant idea, or I always thought it was me. And then at some point, I felt the difference between my thoughts and what they were saying. And I trust them completely. They never, ever told me something that wasn't true. Often I don't agree with what they say and we have discussions, but they're always right.
And do you feel that perhaps these guides have ever been on the earth, or is it a thing that they've never had a life and that they're more kind of spiritual beings in a way?
They all had lives. Many lives here on earth. They learned all lessons we human beings can learn, and now they decided to be guides in this lifetime.
Do you feel that any of them have been in your family?
I do feel family members around me, but they don't belong to this group that I call Ben. So there are two separate groups, actually.
One thing you say in the book is that spirits often visit you days or weeks before the reading occurs.
Yes.
Could this also be before the client even thinks of coming to see you?
Yes, absolutely. And so many times when someone calls me for a reading and I name a date and they say, oh, that's my birthday. So there is no coincidence. So I think that the spirit guides of my client, they give an impulse or an idea to book a reading long before they had that thought.
Do the spirits then come to you as a process of perhaps learning how to work with you, with your energy, so that you get a strong connection?
Yes. And also, I think maybe they just want to know who I am. Maybe they're curious. But definitely to find out how I work, because every psychic medium works differently.
How is the connection made with the spirits? Because I've heard some mediums say they get shown images and they sometimes have physical feelings, but these images have to be interpreted by the medium.
Yeah, I always say that I am the weakest link, because I have to translate, I have to interpret it, and it's for me, it's a combination. They show me things. They make me feel things. Sometimes I smell things. So it's a lot of information at once. And then they help me with talking to me so I can hear their voice. I repeat what they say. And I love working this way together with the spirits.
And so could you tell us about what happened with the firefighter from America?
Yeah, I had no idea that this spirit, he visited me for a couple of years. And in the beginning, he didn't say anything to me. He just looked at me, smiled at me. And I liked his energy right away. And because I have Dutch clients, I thought he was Dutch. That's what I assumed. And then after a couple of years, he started to talk to me. He gave me information about how he died, but he never mentioned exactly where he was. So I started to think, okay, where was a big fire in the Netherlands in the past where several firefighters died? And I couldn't think of something. I never connected the dots. And then one day he told me explicit where he was. He literally said, I was in one of the Twin Towers. And he also said, can you find my wife and tell her everything I told you? And I didn't want to do that because I was terrified that I might hurt her and that she wouldn't believe me. And I only had the firefighter's first name. I didn't know how to search for him, but I did. And I did find his wife. And at first she didn't reply to my email. I completely understand. But after a year, she replied, and she was very happy with the things I told her. And she got from another psychic, she got the same information. And really remarkable things happened to her after her husband's passing.
And so he was a firefighter in 9/11.
Yes, yes.
It's quite remarkable that he found you. Did he try and talk to other mediums as well?
He must have. I think that I always get emotional talking about this. I believe that he looked everywhere to find psychics to get his message across to his wife. This man is so in love with his wife. He did everything he could, and I find that so amazing, and true love really exists. So what I know is that he contacted another psychic, because that's what his wife told me. But maybe because years have passed since I had contact with her, maybe she had other emails as well by now from other psychics in other countries.
And now that the message has been given, I suppose he's just disappeared, has he?
Yes, it's really like mission completed. And I think about him a lot. And like I said, it touched my heart in so many ways, because this is really such a kind, caring, lovely man, and he's a hero as well. So, but I've never seen him again, and I know for sure that when I die, I will see him again. So then I'm gonna give him the biggest hug ever.
You talk about in the book how when people find out you're a medium, they start telling you their own stories. Do you feel like everybody's got a story, but people just don't like to talk about it?
Yeah, I think everyone has a story. And a lot of people question, was this real? Am I crazy? And then I think they feel safe because I'm a psychic medium and they can share their story. And often they cry because it's such an emotional experience, and afraid that people won't believe them. And I love listening to stories like this. I'm almost a sucker for these stories, but I really am. So yeah, I'm all ears.
And are there any stories that you could tell us now? Something that really stands out for you?
What I find very intriguing is the fact that people see someone, they wake up in the middle of the night, they see someone standing by their bed, someone who they think is still alive, and then they find out the next day that that person died on that exact moment when that person was standing by their bed. Oh, I get goosebumps now. It's beautiful because it's like the person is saying goodbye. They never leave. We never leave. But it's like, okay, I'm making my transition now. And people had no idea when they stood by their bed.
I don't know if I'd find it a bit creepy if I woke up and there was somebody I know standing next to my bed. And do they say that these people are kind of like, you know, how they say ghosts are transparent and it's an apparition? Or do they appear as like they're actually there?
It differs. When I see spirits, I see them sometimes their entire body, but most of the time I don't see their legs. So I see their head and then it stops at the legs, like the pelvis, it stops there.
And do you feel that it might take them a lot of effort to show themselves? So they show you what they really need to. And so they don't show you their legs. They just need to show you the face.
I agree with you. And I think for some spirits, it's easier to make themselves known or show themselves.
So another thing that I find fascinating in that you say is that you often connect with someone's future son or daughter when they're waiting for the moment to start a new life.
Yes. And they are a soul at that moment. They chose their body, but they're not in their body yet. So they talk about why they want to be born again, why they chose their parents. The time frame is very important for them. We often think that we get pregnant, but the baby decides, because the baby has a time frame to be born with other their soul group, so that they meet at exact the precise time, because there is divine timing. And they tell me what their personality is and what they like and what they want to do and what they're good at and things like that. And I'm just in awe when a young person comes for a reading and I was talking to them as a soul before they were born. I mean, that's unbelievable.
And do you describe these children to people and then they come back years later and say, you were right, that's exactly who they are?
Yes. And I'm just blown away by that, because I'm sitting across a body and like years later, I was talking to that soul. I had no idea how that person would look like and what kind of vehicle they should have chosen, what kind of body shape or the color of their hair or whatever. That's really weird, but I love it.
I've never really thought of it like that, that somebody, you know, I've had this idea that people would choose their body before they're born, but I've never thought about how much detail they might go into, hair color and eye color and how tall they'll be and things like that. It's amazing.
Yeah, because sometimes they also choose their parents because of the DNA. They want to experience several things that's in their DNA. It's really detailed.
So could you tell us about your father and something that happened to him when he was in World War II and a plane was shooting at his car?
Yeah, he was very young and he was a professional violin player. And to make extra money, he gave a concert with a couple of friends at rich people's houses. And so they drove back in the middle of the night. There was a curfew, but they didn't make the curfew. So like an evening clock. So they were driving through the countryside and there was a plane coming. And the plane fired at the car. The people got out and my father, he heard this loud voice in his head. It was shouting, actually. And it said, hide behind the tire now. And my father did that immediately. And that's how he stayed alive. And another friend as well. But two other friends who ran away from the car, they got shot and were killed. And he was convinced that someone saved his life by warning him. And he wondered always, like, did my two friends who died, did they hear the same thing, hide behind a tire? But I don't know. Maybe this may sound harsh, but maybe it was their time to go.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. I was going to ask you that. Maybe they were supposed to die at that time. That was their exit point.
Yeah, but my father felt really guilty that he was still alive and they were dead. But yeah, you shouldn't feel guilty when you survive something, because like you just said, it can be your time or not.
Hello, listeners. This is Simon. Now, as some of you know, I have a diploma in clinical hypnotherapy and I'm certified in past life regression therapy. And in the past few weeks, I've taken many clients through some amazing and healing past life regressions. And I conduct sessions over Zoom. And I've had clients from many countries around the world. Now, when you go through a past life regression, you will feel totally in control and remember everything. And also I record the whole session and send you an MP3 afterwards. And this gives you space to relax and go with the flow, knowing that you can listen back later and analyse what you experienced if you need to. So if you ever wanted to explore your past lives in a single session or have an issue you want to work on, you can go to my website at pastliveshypnosis.co.uk and book a free 20-minute consultation. And at the moment, I'm offering a 25% discount to everyone that has signed up to the Patreon campaign. The link is in the show notes. Do you feel that other members of your family have the same talents as you, like perhaps your grandmother or great-grandmother, and it's come down through your family line?
My father. It's from my father's family line. And he never did anything with it, but he was the one. He took me for walks for hours when I was really little. He noticed that I was confused. There was something wrong with me because I really turned silent. And I was always upstairs in my room listening to music because I thought I was crazy when I was seven. So he took me by the hand and he explained to me that some people see things and hear things. And he said to me, when you die, you still live on. And I thought, yes, everything resonated what he said. So he knew things, but he never used it. And I think he could use his high sensitivity in his music, because he could lose himself completely while he was playing the violin, and it always made me cry. But he didn't use it in a psychic way.
People get signs from deceased loved ones, and you also say there's no such thing as coincidence. So is it like the spirits are controlling things in the world, so when a coincidence happens, actually it's them trying to give you a sign?
Yes. And what I learned from Ben is that it's so easy for spirits to give us signs. Like, I can't get my mind around how difficult it must be. And they say, no, it's really very easy to make you look a certain way or to make you leave your house 10 minutes later so that they can give you signs because you're 10 minutes late. It's really easy. And it feels almost like we have no saying in it, but that's not true. We just go with the flow of our own energy combined with the spirit's energy. And because we want signs, we want them, but often we don't see them. We should really pay attention more. Look, just be still and look around. Is there a bird that tries to get your attention, or a butterfly? Things like that.
Well, I often wonder if they're trying to send me signs and I just don't get them. And they slap their forehead and they're like, oh, what do we have to do to get through to this guy?
I think they laugh a lot. They don't laugh at us, but like, oh, he didn't see it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get signs as well. But what I'm feeling right now is that they love to write with you. So when you're writing, maybe you're writing down your thoughts or some sort of channeling, that's when they really have a close connection with you.
Oh, that's interesting. I'll have to pay attention to that.
Yeah, a lot comes straight from them.
What sorts of signs are there? What are there ones that are common, or could it just be anything?
It could be anything. So if you really want to recognize a sign, you can say to the deceased person you want signs from, you can say, come up with a sign. It can be an animal or a flower or anything you like, and say to that deceased person, this is going to be our sign. And then start paying attention, because the signs are massive. They're everywhere. And you can do that. And they love to play this game, and they love when they see us like, oh, I saw a sign. They're happy too.
And when you say you ask, is that something you have to say out loud? Or if you think it, can they hear your thoughts?
No, but people think when I say it out loud, they really hear me. But you can say it in your thoughts as well. It doesn't matter.
When you have sittings with people, I imagine sometimes they will have tried to prearrange something with the spirit, almost like a magic word. Like they're at home and they're saying out loud, okay, tell the medium the word strawberry, then I know it's really you there. Do you think this sort of thing is useful?
I noticed that clients do that when they are skeptical about, is she really talking to my deceased father? It's more like a test. And sometimes the deceased person goes along with it and says the word strawberry. And other times the deceased loved one says, I gave so many signs, things the psychic cannot know. How many evidence does someone need?
Right, yeah, I see. It's like sending me signs and I just don't get them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. And I think there's a part in a lot of people, maybe they're scared to believe it, or they think, well, this can't be true. When you're dead, you're dead. So I think it's healthy to be skeptical. But when you do receive information that someone cannot know, you should believe it, because the deceased person is really trying to grow closer with you because they love you so much.
And when they move on in the afterlife, I think it seems like they gradually move away. There's less and less contact with us. Is it because they're developing more as a soul and they're becoming more of their soul identity than their earthly identity?
Yes, but that also differs. I can feel when someone is, I always call it far away in another dimension, because I can imagine when, let's say I die and I can connect with my children, I want to be with them. But when my children died, maybe then it's time for me to explore other dimensions and not be so earthbound anymore. So I think it also has to do with that. How much connection is there still on earth with the people they loved?
And I wonder, when you make connections with people who say are more of their soul identity, do the messages that come through change? Are they more spiritual rather than personal?
Absolutely. And it's like when you had someone in your family and you would never ask them for any advice. It makes no sense to ask them advice now that they're diseased. Because I say always connect with the highest and connect with your spirit guide, because that spirit knows you so well. And so some spirits, they have to grow and they don't have the knowledge, but the longer they are diseased, the more knowledge they get. Am I making sense what I just said?
Yeah. And it's also weird because there's this idea that time doesn't exist in the afterlife. So if they've been away from us for 10 years, 20 years, for them, that's just an instant. So would they have the time to develop?
Yes, they do. Yeah. Yeah. I read that in a book that 3 days of resting in heaven, 15 years can go by on earth. So I can't get my head around that. That there's no time, that everything is happening at the same time.
Well, can we change the subject a little bit? Because
yes, of course.
It was really interesting to read about the time you left your body during surgery. I think you say you felt really natural to be out of your body.
It was really natural to me. I realized everything, like, oh, I'm out of my body. I could feel the doctors working on my body. My body was lower and behind me, so I was more like towards the ceiling. And it felt like really normal. I think if someone had told me before I went into surgery what I was about to experience, I think I would have left the hospital and not be have the surgery. So, but it felt really natural. And I talked to these diseased mother and grandmother of the nurse who held my hand. And we didn't open our mouths. We just talked with thoughts. And it was completely natural to me. And I knew I wasn't dead. And I knew that where these two women came from was what we call heaven. And I could feel the difference between the energy where they came from and where I came from. It was unbelievable, the difference between the level, the energy level.
And you went on from there, didn't you? And you met with your mother, but it was a bit of a weird location.
Yeah, it was like an elevator size room. And it was painted in a really dull gray color. And I thought to myself, why didn't anyone paint this like pink or blue? So I still had my own thoughts as well. That's what I noticed too. And then I could sense that these big elevator-like rooms, they were on both sides of me, floating in the universe. And I knew that it was like I could go from Earth into that room, and diseased loved ones can go from heaven into that room as well. And I believe that, you know, you must have dreams when you met someone who's diseased in a dream. And the dream is so real. They look healthy. It's very detailed. I think that we are in a room like that when we have dreams, like when we meet someone.
And you said you felt like there were tens of thousands or maybe hundreds of thousands of those rooms.
Yes. Yes. And I felt that a lot of them were occupied by people like me and by spirits from the other side. Yeah, it was so weird.
I wonder if those rooms are almost used as a meeting place when people die and then their deceased loved ones come and collect them.
You could be right. I never thought of it that way, but it could be. But when I was standing in the room, I knew that if I would go with the ladies that I met there, then I would die. I would leave my body behind. So there is, it's like a meeting point in the middle.
And how did you feel there? Did it seem kind of like a dream and it was all hazy, or was it very, very clear?
It was very clear. It was very clear. And I was, because the nurse who held my hand when I went to sleep, I was afraid that the messages that her diseased mother gave to me. Do you know when you have a dream and you wake up and you want to remember the dream, that it just goes away like sand between your hands?
Yeah.
I was afraid this would happen too, but it didn't, because I still can remember to this day all the details. It was very clear.
When you were coming out of your body and you could see what was happening in that operating theater, Did you talk to anybody later and say, hey, I saw you do this thing, and they verified it, but they could say, well, you couldn't have seen that, you were unconscious?
No, because I was, I think a split second, I realized I'm out of my body. My body is behind me laying on a table. And then I was into darkness. It was black. I don't like the dark, but I wasn't afraid. So I never saw anything. But I did, when I woke up, I told the nurse everything I saw. And she could confirm everything that I said, because it was very personal, personal messages from her mother about her family and things like that. But I didn't see anything about the operation.
And was the nurse very accepting of it all, or did she initially think you might be a bit crazy?
No, the nurse, the nurse was okay with it, but the surgeon, he was like raising his eyebrows and looking at me like I was crazy, because I was shouting when I came out of my sleep, because I thought, oh, when I wake up, I'm going to forget everything. So I was almost hysterical. That must have looked really weird. But the nurse said, what is your profession? And I said, I'm a psychic medium. And she said, I thought you were, yeah. So no, she wasn't. She was very moved by everything that I said and the messages her mother gave me.
And during another surgery, your great-grandfather visited you.
Yes, that was a very long surgery. And I saw my grandfather and he handed me an incredibly huge book with leather and these beautiful letters, capital letters made in ink and thick paper. And he said, there are words missing on every page. You have to find out what the missing word is. But he gave me the book upside down. So I didn't understand the language. I never saw that language before. So I just saw these empty spaces here and there. And then I suddenly knew. And I said to my grandfather, I know the word. The word is love. And he smiled at me and he said, yes, the word is love. And then he closed the book and then I woke up from surgery.
And was that encounter also very, very clear?
It was very clear, yes. Yes, it was, because I can see the book in detail. Like the way the monks used to make books, and they did years, it took them years to make one book. That's how the book looked like. But I had no idea what was written inside of it, because I think it's maybe Hebrew or maybe Latin or Greek. I don't know. I didn't recognize it.
I've heard something like this before. I'm a hypnotherapist. I take people through past life regression with somebody, and they moved into the space with a guide, and it was a space of light. And the guide took them on to this place that was like an enormous library. They handed her a book, and this big book, and she opened it, but she couldn't read it. She said it's in a strange language. So that's pretty much what you said as well. It's interesting.
You're giving me goosebumps right now. Oh, I love that. Yeah. I do believe there is a massive library in the universe, and it's expanding. I know that we can travel during a meditation. We can say, listen, I want to travel to this library in the universe. I want to receive the knowledge that I need right now in my life. And it works. So I believe you. Of course, I believe you.
So there's a chapter on karma, which was very interesting. And it's an interesting story you'd tell about the bookkeeper and how he treated you, but then what happened to him afterwards?
Yeah. Well, something weird happened in my kitchen where I had my office, and he was next to me. He had his office next to mine. And on Friday afternoon, my water pipe broke in my kitchen. And I didn't return till Sunday. And then my office was like a swimming pool, and his office as well. The water went straight through the walls. And he had a stamp collection on the floor in a box. And all his stamps were floating in the water. And the firemen came, and they just had these big hoses, and all the stamps were gone in the hoses down in the sewer. And he was very upset by that, because he had some stamps that were very rare. And the fireman said to him, but why do you keep them in a box on the floor? So it was kind of sad, but at the same time, it was karma, because he didn't like the fact that I was a psychic medium. And I met him 20 years before when I was looking for an accountant. And he was very nice. But at the end of our talk, he said, "What's your profession?" And I said, "I'm a psychic medium." He just burst into flames. He was so angry. He stood up. He shouted. He said, "You're a sinner and you're working with the devil." And he got so angry that he got like foam in his corners of his mouth. Yuck. And and he said, "Go away." So, I mean, I really thought that I have to be careful with to whom I say what my profession is, because some people are really scared of that and think that you're working with the devil. But that was his karma, that all his stamps got in the big hoses of the firefighters, right into the sewer.
You saw him, and then 20 years later, he was next door to you. Did he recognize you?
Yeah, he did. And I, you know, it was 20 years later, so I was more assertive. And I introduced myself, and I was sure to mention a couple of times that I was a psychic medium. But he didn't say anything, but he recognized me. And I said, "Yeah, if you ever want a reading, you're always welcome." And I heard him mumbling something like, rah, 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 but I couldn't hear what he was saying. And I think that's nice of growing older, that we don't care so much what anyone thinks of us. Don't you experience that too, that it's you get more assertive and stand up for yourself?
So can you tell us, you had a time in your house where you thought you heard a burglar coming up the stairs?
Yeah.
But actually that was a spirit?
No, it was something that has never been human. I call it more demonic. It was pretending to walk up my stairs. I could hear it walking up my stairs. The rabbit of my son was going crazy. He was flapping his feet on the floor in his cage to just warn other rabbits that there's danger. And I was just paralyzed. I was really paralyzed, lying in my bed, hearing someone walking up the stairs really slowly. But no one came into my room. But my room had a built-in closet with a lot of shelves. And I had so many things standing on the shelves. And all these things fell on the floor from the shelves. And I don't know. I think I nearly died when that happened. Like, I got so scared. But there was no one in the house. I called the police and they couldn't see anything. And they said, I showed them all the mess on the floor of all the shelves. And he said, yeah, well, maybe they didn't know what to say, but they said like, well, you know, they were like, what are we supposed to say? We don't know why everything fall down from every shelf. And I didn't either. And then my guide said, well, this was to let you know how it feels to feel the demonic energy. And I said, well, that's lovely. Thank you so much. And I said, I never, ever want to feel that again in my life, please. But sometimes we have to know the difference between good and bad, lightness and dark.
And was there a point where you were staying in Italy and there was something there?
It was the same.
Ah.
It was staying in a room. It didn't come out of the room, but it was a vacation home, and I was there with my friend, and that thing in that room didn't want us to be there. And at first I didn't say anything, but she felt it too. And it started slamming the doors. We just had a really creepy feeling in that house. It was a beautiful house, a really old Italian house, but it really didn't want us to be there. Yeah. But it didn't harm us. It was just there in the room. and it didn't feel human. It was demonic as well. Oh, Simon, I don't like that.
Well, if we move on then, get away from that subject.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about encounter dreams? Because I think you mentioned that earlier.
Yeah, it's when you're dreaming, you're asleep, and you're seeing someone you loved, and that person isn't no longer here. And you see like the color of their eyes, their skin looks healthy, their hair is shiny, and you're talking to them. That's an encounter dream. When you have a dream about someone who's deceased and they look horrible or like at the end of their sickbed, that's not an encounter dream. An encounter dream is always when the diseased loved one looks really healthy and you're talking with them. They explain things to you about maybe how your life is going. Maybe they give you tips or ideas. That's an encounter dream. And usually when we wake up, we're really happy because we've seen someone so close that we miss so much. But then a couple of seconds later, we forget what was said. We don't know. I don't know why they do that we forget what they said.
And do these dreams feel different, or are they particularly lucid?
They feel loving. They feel like... sometimes when I dream about my parents, when I have an encounter dream, I cry from joy. So I wake up and I still have tears because it's so real. You feel it's not a dream, but you really had an encounter, because we all leave our body a couple of times a night. We all do. So you really met and probably in the elevator-like room.
It's almost like, I don't know what you call it, a staging post or a cafe. You just kind of sit down and have a cup of tea with them.
The ghost cafe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something like that. And you cannot go. You have to go to the front door. When you go back, leave through the back door, you're going to die, because that's where heaven is. That's what I felt really vividly.
So you talk about that we do not die alone. There is a whole team of deceased loved ones.
Yeah, there is. They know that dying is an intense process. A lot of people are afraid to die, and I can understand. So when we see a familiar face, we see maybe our partner who had died previously, or a child. When we see familiar, kind faces, it's easier for us to say, okay, I'm dying now. This is okay. I'm happy. You're never alone, a whole group. Like sometimes I even hear from people that there were hundreds of people waiting for them. That's a lot, a big fan club.
Yeah, yeah. And so we die and then... We're there in the afterlife for a while, and then there's reincarnation.
Mm-hmm.
And do we, as our personality, who we are now, remain in the afterlife in eternity, and your soul creates another part of itself to have a life? Or is it that we come back to Earth and we have a life?
No, I think really our soul becomes another part. There's a part that stays behind. That's what I've heard. I can't remember from when I was dead, but that's what I've heard, that a part stays behind. And I've also heard that every relationship that you have continues. So let's say you're divorced. That relationship continues even if you're divorced. And I found that fascinating as well. So you have so many versions of different paths you can take, or that you have been taken in your life, that still go on.
Okay. So it's almost like it's a thing where you no longer have the arguments, the disagreements. Your relationship is better?
No, not necessarily. Because when you have to learn from the arguments, sorry, and the fights, then it's not necessarily nice or easy because you're still learning as a soul. Yeah, most lessons are, well, quite difficult because it's challenging us.
So, if somebody wanted to book a sitting with you, how do they find you?
Well, I'm on the internet, and my website name is barbarathemedium.com. That's my website.
And do you do the sittings over like Zoom or Skype? You do them over the phone?
I do them over the phone because I always want to have my eyes closed. And I've done video readings, but it's so distracting because I feel I have to be polite and look at the person on my screen. But at the same time, it distracts me. So I want to keep my eyes closed and just be in my bubble and give you the information.
So we were talking about your book, which is called My Most Memorable Psychic Readings and Personal Stories. And that's on Amazon, isn't it?
It is, yes.
And I can put the link to that in the show notes for this episode. And do you have plans for another book?
Oh. This book cost me so many blood, sweat, and tears. And so I don't think so. But maybe I will in the in 10 years or something. But for now, I say no, but never say no.
Yeah, never say never.
Never say never, yeah.
Okay, well, thanks a lot for coming onto the podcast. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you. I love your energy. I love how you're such a good listener. Yeah, I loved it. I'm honored
Thank
that
you.
I was on your podcast. Thank you so much.
And that was an interview with Barbara Bandel about her book, My Most Memorable Psychic Readings and Personal Stories. And if you want to hear the rest of this fascinating interview, you can sign up to Patreon. When you sign up for $5 a month, you get an extended episode every week. And for $2 a month, you get an extended episode every month. And the Patreon episodes are ad-free and are released 2 days before the free versions. And please check out my other podcast. It's called the Alien UFO Podcast, and I release new episodes every Monday, and you can find it on almost every podcast app. And I've also added a new tier to the Past Lives Podcast Patreon campaign, where for $12.50 a month, you can get the Alien UFO Podcast extended episodes every week, as well as the Past Lives Podcast extended episodes. And including the Alien UFO Podcast episodes, there are now more than 100 extended episodes available in the back catalogue. You can become a patron by going to patreon.com/pastlivespodcast, or click on the Patreon button on my homepage at pastliveshypnosis.co.uk, and the links are in the show notes. And look out for the Past Lives Podcast episodes called Paranormal Stories, and they're released every Thursday. And there is a Past Lives Podcast Facebook group. If you'd like to join, you'd be very welcome. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favorite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening. Was your guides talked about a choice that your clients had to make, and they had to make this decision until the end of 2019, and they couldn't do it after that?
I was very confused about that. And the more we approach 2020, the more they started to explain this to clients.